Well, so what is your next purchase? What is on your to buy list? And why do you want it? Do you need it? What is your kid's next purchase? If they had their way, if your wife had her way, if your husband had his way, what would the next purchase be? The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. There is a legitimate reason for that. Truth makes you free. Free from this world's prisons. Free from this world's emotional disasters. Free to be part of the permanent peace that exists in the heavenlies. Buy the truth and sell it not. Why don't we pray right now for our next purchase from heaven? What is it that you came to purchase? Father, I believe you're about to meet the need of everybody that's got you on the purchase list. I believe that people are here today because they have heard of your greatness and they have seen a great light. Some example somewhere that lit up their world of permanency in a posture of peace. So I ask you today to anoint the messenger of God. Anoint the ears to hear. And let the world hear the freedom ring once again from the house of faith. And everybody praise him just a little bit, would you? Father of mercy. Father of grace. I thank you today for every man and lady that has come to your house. And I pray that they are not anything but fulfilled in Jesus' name. It is always a delight to come to you personally on the street, in the hallway, or in the pulpit. I live, and I'm serious, I live to bless our city, our country, but above all, to bless the name that gave me my first breath and will give me my last. It is a serious thing. The Bible said it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I want to run to him today. And I want to carry as many of you with me as I can. I wonder what it is that every people is selling each other. When we talk to people about becoming a Christian, what are we trying to sell them? When we tell them this house of God is designed to offer you heaven, what are we selling them on that will get them there? I was reliving several things, and I didn't put it on the picture, but because I think you can imagine it. How many of you men have ever been close to what we call a salvage yard? Perhaps some of you ladies have even gone with your husband to a salvage yard. And how many of you know the reason that the vehicles that are still there are there? Somebody say they still have some value. Now, none of you going to go there to buy your next car. There is some value still left. And I'm hearing people say, well, so-and-so's done this and so-and-so's got this. And I guess that's really all I need. I look like a car or a Christian. I look like I've got history with real good carship. Maybe if it don't run, I'm not buying it. If it can't get me where I want to go, I don't care how much good's left in it. And I'm not trying to follow somebody that's got a little bit of good. I'm trying to follow the one that knows how to get through hell, knows how to negotiate every sickness, knows that. Am I coming through yet? Who would follow a partial car? And who would follow a partial Christian? I say it's time we sell out. Get upgraded. Become what the book says. And I'm here to sell you today on forever life. I'm not talking about a partial life where some days it's okay and some days I have hope and some days I sense we can overcome. I'm talking about forever life. From the moment you go to bed until you get up in the morning, there is dreams and visions in your mind. I'm taking my family with me to a holy city. I'm not going to lollygag around here. I'm on my way personally to a holy city. I am developing the mind of Christ every day I live. I'm not satisfied with belonging to a local assembly. I am going to become Christ. I want a mechanic to work on my car that knows how to get every cylinder working. I want a mechanic working on my car that can read the diagram on his little computer that says cylinder number 3 needs a little work. I'm interested in hitting on all 4 or 10 whatever cylinders I got. Father, we come here today hungry, not just coasting through occasionally and not knowing the storm will end occasionally, but knowing we're going to be more than conquerors. There are no discounts on this life. There are no places that you can buy the kind of life I'm trying to talk to you about. There are no discounts. I'm seeing preachers by the dozens offer people discounts on tickets to heaven. And the tickets can't even hardly get them up in the morning with excitement. The tickets don't afford them the credentials to whatsoever you ask in my name with faith, believing it shall be done unto you. I'm not talking about selling you a part of a car. I'm talking about selling you a part of heaven. I'm talking about your part in the heavenlies. You don't need a discount for his life. It's a trade-in. You'll never get a better deal than your carnal concepts of life traded for his spiritual aptitude and intellectualism that conquers death, hell, and the grave. Somebody ought to clap your hands that you're standing in line today for that kind of life. I've seen people stand in line for tickets to football games and everything else for not only minutes, some for hours. And then they can't hardly even leave the place and talk about how great it was. And they can hardly wait to have church and get it over with. I'm not here to hurry up and get out. I'm hurry up here to get what I need, however long it takes. I'm standing in line. My purchase power and my desire today is, God, you know what my wife needs. You know what my kids need. You know what our city needs. And I don't want to go out bankrupt tomorrow without a voice of faith. A watered down version is worthless. I'm not interested in sitting in my car in my driveway and people say, wow, what a Tahoe. A fat Tahoe can't pull a trailer that's loaded down with tractor or something. Get it out of my way. Whatever I need to buy, I'm going to buy. You can't pull a good tractor with a Volkswagen. As an unbeliever, you have good and bad days. All you got to do is look around. Unbelievers are having some of the most unbelievably good days. Can we be honest about that? I'm talking people that never go to church. They don't have a pastor. They out there, they have some wonderful, exciting moments in life. Not interested in having a life that looks good and has a dead end street. As a partial believer, people that go to church and demonstrate that they know enough about Him to try to get close and see what He's up to now. As a partial believer, you have good and bad days. As a believer, you have bad and good things happen, but you live in light and power and know whatever bad's going on has an end to it. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I am going to overcome the world. We do not ignore that we have bad things happen to good people. We have bad things that happen to everybody. But when you know that no matter how dark it gets at night, the sun's coming up in the morning. I am going to overcome the nighttime. I am going to be able to rise in a little while. I'm going to overcome what I'm going through. You are an eternal being. And you have been given 70 to 80 years to learn how to live life. I'm here to convince you, totally convince you, of how awesome you really are. It is the enemy's business to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you wanted to destroy somebody, you would cause them to think they're worthless. That they don't matter. That how they live doesn't count. What they say doesn't matter. If you ever learn how really awesome you are, you're going to make purchases that feed the awesomeness of life. God. I wish somebody say God. Have you noticed that it has been the work of carnal minds to tear down the awesomeness of God? They use that word to curse one another. They use that word to slight. But the book said, let everybody that names the name of the Lord depart from something. And now, places we go that are called salvation centers don't even have the word depart from the world in it. You ought to pray every day that whoever pastors this church helps you to get loose from whatever's out yonder that's holding some of your kids back. It's not enough for me to have two good headlights in a car that the motor don't run. I'm not interested in having a few good things left over, good tires that are left over in a salvage yard. And don't misunderstand me, we're going to get there, because I'm here to tell you, God's going to take the salvage yard of people and he's going to renew their life and they're going to live again. He said, though they be dead in sin and trespasses, they're going to rise to flourish. So don't get rid of it because it's got some negatives. But that's not going to be my example of how to live. Am I coming through on that? I'm telling you, I need to be healed every day. My mind gets weak. God said, let us make man in our image. And I get mystified with people that try to use that word our to make more beings that are God. You got to understand, God was talking to angels. God was talking to creation. Everything in heaven was a celestial being. And when he was saying, let's make Adam a celestial being, that's not another person. God is a spirit. He's talking to other spirits. Let's make man in our image. In other words, we're going to make Adam a man that can have a wife, a partner, and we're going to make them in our image. You'll see a scripture in a minute that just it emphasizes all of this. But hey, somebody say celestial being. When you read 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, when he says we're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, you go all the way back to the book of John, where Jesus said, I am with you now, but I shall be in you. And Philip looks at him and says, show us the Father. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because the Father is spirit, and in me dwells all the fullness of the Father bodily. And he said, you got to understand, this is a physical being. This is a temporal being. But I'm fixing to be changed into a celestial being. And that's how he walked through a wall and showed up to the disciples after he come out of the graveyard. They buried a temporal, earthly, terrestrial being. But when he came out of the grave, he was all the way back to celestial. Would just somebody say from terrestrial to celestial? Read that 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. It will absolutely delight the very light in your soul. I'm going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Not to jump in a terrestrial body into the heavens. I'm going to have a celestial body that will be just like what he created in the beginning. God created heavens and the earth. And then he created man, celestial being. That's big stuff, folks. That's what you're about to take over. And that's why you want to train that celestial part of you to be perfect in all of its ways. And the Bible said, crucify the terrestrial so it don't control you. Somebody say dominion. Over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, and created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and what? Somebody say, subdue it. That's the activity of the church right now, is to subdue earth stuff so heaven stuff can live. Subdue darkness, to put it in his further reiterations to us, subdue darkness and transform darkness into light, as he is doing in our present mind. He has taken the darkness out Sunday to Sunday, prayer meeting to prayer meeting, fasting moment to fasting moment. He is taking the darkness and he's turning it into light. And he said, walk ye in the light. Hallelujah. Not in darkness, not in fear, not in trembling of this thing, but walk in the light. Confidence, overcoming, knowing that no weapon formed against you is going to damn you forever again. I'm here to tell you today, somebody came here looking for the Messiah and he's already in the house. He showed up because you did. God said, behold, I have given who? I wish you'd point to yourself, you. Every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. I wish somebody say, I am awesome. I am created in the image of the Almighty God. I have been given the promise that if I will deny the flesh and receive his spirit, all things will become possible to me, both things in heaven and things in earth. I'm talking to somebody today. Going to the house of God is a whole lot bigger than putting in a couple of hours a week. Going to the house of God is greater than going to the car wash, where we take our car as many times as necessary to get the dirt off and to get the wax job on it. I'm here to tell you that every prayer meeting is helping to get the dirt out and helping to get carnality out and helping to get us into the place where this thing will run with precision and timing. I don't want no car loping down the road, oop, 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 coughing, and everybody looking and say, and he calls himself a Christian. Hello? It's time for the race cars to get on the track. It's time for the weapons of our warfare to show up mighty in the hands of the believer and say, greater is he that is for us than he that is against us. We're not caving in. We're coming in. We're not caving down. We're not getting down. We're getting up. Now, I put this here for a quick reminder to those that's already seen it. Now, you came in here kicking and screaming, and some are going to go out kicking and screaming. Because you've been given about 70 or 80 years to go through what we call an opportunity to become what you really want to be in the forever life. The forever life gets started here by hearing the word, and faith begins to develop. You know what? I really do have a lot of things in me that wants to be greater. All you have to do to look around to see that every man has been given the measure of faith is to look at some of the scientists, some of the creations that have already been taking place, some of the new things we're already looking at on the internet that we can't wait to get more money to buy more of that stuff to fill up our closets so we can get rid of the other stuff. I have never seen so many storage rooms. I didn't know we were out of storage space till they started building these storage houses. Hello? Now people not only rent a storage room, they buy in a second storage room. Their closets are full. Their attic is full. Their garage is full. Where is it going to end? They are coming up with more ingenious ideas to keep the attention. Don't you think that one thing, that Satan is not the back of all of that stuff? Somebody say, new. You got plenty of clothes to wear. But I'm going shopping. Can't wait to go again. I promise you, I'm trying to detach you from the every weight and the sin. Somebody say, every weight and the sin. I'll tell you, all that stuff the enemy's got us thinking we need, and we use it once and it winds up in the closet and we go back years later and think it's Christmas again. Well, I didn't even know I had that. I know none of y'all like that, but I am. Okay, so let me just preach to me. I am trying to get loose because you are created in the image of the one who has dominion over the cows. And I'm watching people act worse than cows. Cows don't get drunk unless they get some of that bitter weed. I'm watching cows that negotiate life better than some humans. Please tell me I'm doing decent. Yes. Like this, if you just start doing quick so your neighbor don't know you're with me. I'm trying to tell you, if the church ever needed to rise to its power, it is now. We can't keep waiting on the derelicts to come up with it. I'm here to tell you that the people that have the wisdom of the world don't necessarily have the wisdom of God. So, let's look at it real quick. When you were born, when the first man Adam was born, this is the first man Adam, he was born upright in all of his ways. Romans the 3rd chapter, we'll see it here in a minute, so I'm not going to quote it. I mean, not going to turn you there. But Romans the 3rd chapter and the 23rd verse says, all have sinned. Somebody say, all have been turned right side, upside down. Upside down. People have been born sinners. You don't have to teach your kids to lie, cheat, and steal, and hate. They're born upside down. It is a native ability to get mad at people that have fed you. Oh, please act like your kids have never gotten mad at you. You try to make them quit lying, and they'll stick your tongue out when you turn your head. Oh, I know you've caught them. I'm telling you, obedience. Don't go, disobedience don't go away just because you go to the house of God. You got to trade this old mind in for a new mind. If you ever want to be a blesser of the world, you got to quit learning how to damn people. I don't know how to put it any more straight than that. We want to send people to the wrecking yard for doing one bad thing. I'm going to use the world's language, but you know what it is. And now Christians have got their own look that says it without doing it, enunciating. When Jesus saw how bad we were, he came to us in love. He came to us with teaching. He came to us trying to heal our sick and raise us up. Yes, he spoke tough. But inside, you felt his arm. Son, I'm doing this like Dad used to tell me. You know, he said, I'm going to spank you because I love you. And I thought, man, I wish I was big enough to love you back. Jesus is not ever going to get on to you without loving you. If he ever lays a stripe on your back, it will be the next moment that you feel his arm of strength coming to heal the pain of having disobeyed, and he will give you the best, most satisfying meal. All of a sudden, when your heart or in your brain gets upside down, your body, while you talk about heaven, we live a deteriorating or uninfluential life. And by that I mean, people see us as our verbs and our adjectives, we talk about Christ, but our whole conversation betrays us too often. The fear and the hopelessness and the feeling that, I don't know, if I could get my kids to live for God. I don't know if I could get my neighbor to live for God. I'm telling you that Satan is out to rob the faith of the church. Because what he does first is to get the church to sensing a weakness in the flesh to be able to convert the world. We're not going to convert the world because we go to the house of God. We're going to convert the world because of whatever bread we get at the house of God is going to show up in muscle on the streets of the city. God sent forth his only son, made of woman, in flesh. He left heaven where everything was perfect and sent him down here to be sin, who knew no sin, who lived in a weak and frail body that bled when it was hit and it cried when it was hurt. And you find Jesus alone, somebody say alone, on the mount, on the hill called Jerusalem, looking over the city, and he's crying, he's weeping. Who for? Derelicts, people in the salvage yard, people who got turned upside down, and they think that if they look up a little bit that everything's okay. No, you got to get the whole inside man turned right side up. Desires have to change, determinations have to change, and that's why God sent preachers, because the preaching of the word brings faith, and faith brings power, and power gets men to where they can see. We have defects, but greater is he that is for us than he that is against us. We're going to keep going back to the potter's house. We're going to keep going back to the carpenter shop. We're going to keep going back to the mechanic, the one who knows how to get precision out of a brain and a heart and muscles. He knows how to get it precise so that when the church walks out of the house, light, glory, spewed out over the people. I wish somebody talked to God for yourself right now. How much of him do you want? I don't want enough to satisfy a little part of my conscience. I want to be one with him. Let's take a couple of minutes here and just pour our soul out to him. I'm not trying to belong to a church that's going to try to convince me. I'll know when I have him, because he conquers. Now, I want you to look at this bottom line for a minute, because see, to us, they look upside down. But when you read John the 3rd chapter and verse 3, and you see who has slipped up to Jesus in the secret of the night, Nicodemus has come by night because he don't want everybody knowing what's going on in his heart and his head. And he said, "Good master, I'd like to get this thing straight. I don't understand everything I know, but I would like to know." Somebody say, "I would like to know." And that's why God is going to do exceeding abundantly. Because Nicodemus starts talking to him, and Jesus said, "Except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then Nicodemus scratched his head and poses another little question. And Jesus said, "Well, let me just say it a little further. Except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God." And he said, "Well, how can a man, when he's older, enter again into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus said, No. You're dealing with flesh. I'm dealing with the spirit of man. I'm dealing with the part that gets twisted up. I'm talking about, except a man be born again of the water and the Spirit, he can't see and he can't enter." And then he looks at him bold-faced and he said, "Let me tell you something, Nicodemus. You must be born again." Well, man in his intricate genius has tried to design a new means to get people born again. Now, let me tell you something to us, okay? Let me talk to us a minute. Just being born again doesn't mean because you can see and you have the potential to enter that you actually do it. Because here's what the book said. Ye that are willing and obedient, when you see a truth and you're willing to re-identify or negotiate your brain and your heart with that truth, then you willingly and obediently follow Jesus' life. Let me ask you this. Of all the people you know, how many do you know that's really trying to live their life like Jesus did when he was here on earth? Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He was abused in every way. Read Isaiah 53 every now and then. Because I'm telling you, as I look around, I find it very difficult in my own life as I try to preach this gospel to desire to identify as him with this present world. He said, they hated me. And he said, if you ever get to the place where I shine out of your life more than you shine in your own life, they will hate you. You won't have to try to make them do it. Because, go back to John the third chapter. He said, men hate light because their deeds are evil. Is that something I want to purchase today so I can identify and so I can help my children and my brothers and sisters to re-identify with the master of life? Does anybody have any doubt about him being the master of life? Had somebody tell me here recently, said, Pastor, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says he became our redeemer and we're redeemed from sin. Whether we like it or not, he's redeemed every one of us and we're all going to heaven if you just say, I accept him as Lord. There's nothing in the Bible that identifies that as an actual occurrence. He said, if you don't repent, you'll perish. He said, if you don't turn from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, you're still going to the same future. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to try to tell you how awesome you are. You are created for being in domination. You are created to dominate this flesh on every level. You are created to have power over this flesh. And if our mind ever accepts who we really are in Jesus Christ, we're going to see more miracles and we're going to see more signs and wonders because they're going to start seeing us trample over demons, Luke 10 and 19, and trampling over the little stuff. And they're going to say, my God, if he's with them in the little stuff, he'll be with them in the big stuff. Cancer, goodbye. Headaches, goodbye. All of this fear, goodbye. Because I'm going to follow the footsteps of the King. It's easy to do a few things and want the whole inheritance. The prodigal didn't do a lot of bad. He took from home more than money. He took enough memory. But the other kid that stayed home, that looked so sanctified, was so proud that when the brother was reinstated, he behaved worse than the guy that left home. The one that wound up in the salvage yard learned by memory the beauty of living at the master's table. He learned by memory. And that is so often why a backslider coming back to God gives it everything, because they learn there's nothing really of significance in smoking and drinking and doping and cussing and lying and living ungodly and living in the world as the world lives. There's more in the prayer room than there is in that world. And that's why Jesus prayed always. So, this looks up to the guy that's living upside down. Well, that'll be great. That'll be good. If I had that, yes, that would make it right. To the guy whose mind and heart is on earthly things, if I could turn the picture over, you would see they look like it's going up. But somebody said, but death and hell. This guy who is willing to be converted week after week, day after day, he knows without a question, I've got to fight this flesh. And if I had time, I could show you that hill that's the real hill and that place that looks like it's no hill. The Bible said many sinners don't look like they have any problems. And for that reason, people tend to follow a limited Christ. Here's what God said. Trouble is with you always. But he said, here's the good news. I'm with you always. When you have the strength of the Creator living inside you, somebody say the hill is no problem. It's when you're trying to walk the hill in the flesh that living for God is difficult. But when you have the strength of the Resurrector in your mind and in your heart, walking uphill is a miracle. Because you can do it just as easy. Bible says the way of a transgressor is what's hard. They keep reaching for new dimensions, new cars, new houses, new land. And many Christians have some nice cars and houses. That's not what I'm preaching against. I'm preaching against the mechanics of it. That we trust. Some trust in horses, Psalms. Some trust in horses and some in flesh. Some in the things they own. But he said, we have trusted in the name of the Lord. Because there's only one Savior and his name is Jesus. And I want him to save us. Luke 10, 17 and 18. And the 70, watch this one now, returned again with joy. This is after Jesus has come and he has imparted to these people truths that are now beginning to work in their mind. This is phenomenal stuff. And the 70 returned and said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Watch what he says. And Jesus said unto them so casually, yeah, what do you think? I was there the day he fell from heaven. That's how come you know in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead, because Jesus as a flesh was not born. The Spirit was speaking that moment, and all of a sudden, when they started saying, wow, this is awesome. The devils are subject to who? I wish somebody would say us. I'm telling you, this church is about to rise to the awesomeness of what it was designed to be. I'm telling you, devils are fixing to be subject to all of you because you are receiving the word today that is the word of eternal life, but it's more than just eternal life in the situation of going to heaven. It is that eternal life that you were born to be in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. Dominion. Somebody say dominion. I'm here to tell you when he said in Luke 10, 19, you shall tread over serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. Some of you are about to get your earnest of your inheritance and you're going to be trampling over them and your kids are going to say, my goodness, mama used to get mad over that. Now she's got victory over it. Mama used to get to feeling hateful and jealous and all that stuff. And now she's got victory over those demons. What is going on? I want to be like mama. I want to be like the church. I want to go to the house where miracles happen. I want to see transformed minds. I want to see transformed life. I want to leap over a wall. Hallelujah. I want that. And I want it for you. I'm tired of us having to borrow miracles from overseas where they have no money. They'll believe almost anything. And when an evangelist from Calvary goes over there, they're hungry. They're starving. We don't need miracles. We just need doctors and counselors. I'm talking about America. I'm not talking about some of you personally. I'm talking about that's the shape of your world. Look where they head. The church is about to rise to its awesomeness. He said in the last days, I will restore. Somebody say restore.
Read it in the book of Joel. Read it in the book of Hosea. Read it in the book of Zechariah. In the last days, he said, I'm going to restore this church to its original posture. I tried to show you a part of that last Sunday, that in the last days, there's not going to be a bunch of church places. I'm here to tell you many of them are caving in by the dozens, but there's many of them that are rising up to accept the challenge. I'm watching different denominational churches that's saying, hey, look, we may have missed a little bit of turning the road here, but we're not giving up. We know that he's really who he is. And I'm here to tell you, you're going to see people that you never dreamed of. Catholics and Baptists and Presbyterians talking in tongues and humbling themselves before God. And you're going to see Pentecostals by the dozens walking out the church saying, I didn't get it. I didn't find it. And you hear this preacher today, it's time for us to seek first the kingdom and all of his righteousness and all of this stuff will be added. Our kids need to see a house that's so full of his glory. Every service, we're worshiping him from the top of our head to the sole of our feet. He's kept me. He's fed me. He's kept me. He's fed me.
I wish you'd pray for your neighbor around. Why don't we all just stand for a minute? Pray for your neighbor, would you? I'm not talking about some baby doll prayer. I'm talking about pray for your sons and daughters. Grab your husband. Grab your wife. Honey, we gotta seek the God of heaven for our kids. We can't let them know about Pentecost and not know about Pentecost. Hallelujah. I wish we'd give him a little bit of a hand clap. That's it. Don't get carried away right now. We got to get on. Let's be seated just for another couple of minutes. Where down looked up and up looked down. The reason they make fun of people that come out of the world is because they don't understand it. All you got to do is go back into childhood and you watch people. You watch kids from infancy. If they see somebody that's a little bit handicapped, they'll often make fun of them. They'll stare at them. You and I know both. I've heard it. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. And my heart broke. What do you think they do when they get grown up? When they say see any spiritual institution rising above what we call the crowd of religion, they start making fun. That ought to be a sign to you that you got something going. I'm not talking about if you're doing stupid on purpose. Okay? I'm talking about when you're becoming like Christ. They ridiculed him. They made fun of him. Romans 3:22. Unto upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he don't leave anybody right there. Somebody say, he don't leave us there. Being justified freely by his teachings through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I'm here to tell you that you have never experienced yet all of the things that's in store for you. You have not yet tasted the best day of life. We've all tasted some good days. But I think I told you earlier, so have the unbelievers. God is so merciful. He will put a taste bud in your mouth to lead you to hunger. And when you finally get calloused, I can live like I want to and still have some of the good stuff from his world. When the light is taken out, and which is the church, when the church is truly taken out, you haven't seen a darkness. We're already seeing perversion at high levels. Friend of mine goes to a church that has just received perverts into their pulpit. But they don't only do that in indiscretion. They're making bold statements about it. And guess what? They're using scripture. Two in the bed, one shall be taken, one left. The book says two men in a bed. And so their concept is,
we'll do that like we want to do it. What they don't understand is the book goes on to say, in Christ there's neither male nor female. When you get ready to get raptured. But if you don't know that stuff, people are going to get you messed up. They turn it around and say, in Christ there's neither male nor female, as if all of them are in Christ, a new creature. And they say, well, it doesn't really make any difference. They're taking the word of God and perverting it. And ladies and gentlemen, they're doing it under the disguise of he's redeemed us from our sins. We're all saved. None of us have to come out of the world. We never have to start doing good works. All of that stuff is just a bunch of hogwash. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And we better find our way through this dark world. And we better seek first the kingdom of God. And we better get a preacher that's not down on us, but understands we can't live down and go up. It's no way to live down and go up. I'm here to tell somebody, you are an awesome individual. All you need is the mind of Christ, and I'm telling you, all things will be subject unto you. But you can't live a half-hearted Christian life and expect all things to be possible. And you ought to write this one down. Everybody ought to tweet this or Facebook it. You can be greater than yesterday, every day. However great you were yesterday, today, I don't care if it's a centimeter, be a little bit more in Christ. Be a little more in tune with his world. Because you can be greater than yesterday. Somebody say, every day. Every day I can grow in grace. Every day I can grow in knowledge. Every day I can add to my strength, my virtue strength. Every day I can add a little bit more. I'm going to pray till hell a little bit more and 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 wind up in hell. Or you can do a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more and wind up trampling over devils. I'm here to preach to you. You are awesome. You have the potential to receive the word of God. No cow, no plant, nothing out yonder can do what humans can do. Your life, even here, guided by the Holy Ghost, can reach new levels. You're going to fight something every day. Some just fight getting out of bed. Oh, my God. Another day. Put your foot on that next day. And say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be exceeding glad therein. This is another day that God has made. And I don't care how many little devils are lined up trying to steal my joy. Get behind me, Satan. You loser. You never have created a world. You can't create righteousness. You can't create peace. I am in Christ, a new creature. I'm going to take it one step at a time. I'm not going to try to do it all when I leave the house today. But when I get up in the morning, I'm going to look at the Lord and say, lead me wherever the path of righteousness is, and give me the mercy and strength. Some days we find plenty of energy. You look at all the surroundings. Let me put the next two up there real quick. Some days we look at life and say, when you're still in the bed, the dishes from last night looking at you. You got a whole kitchen full of dishes. And you look in the mind and you remember the bathtub still got rings. Your stupid husband didn't wash out the bathtub. And then you remember we're out of Kleenex. So you just find a TV knob and turn the TV on and say, help me. Have I got home with you yet? I'm trying, folks. I'm telling you, Jesus is real. Heaven is more real than you can imagine. Greater than any best day you've ever had on earth is that day
that you put on that celestial being, and all of a sudden you separated from this terrestrial. We need to talk about it more than we've ever talked about it. Our kids don't need to be worried about us leaving here. They need to be thrilled that we don't have to go through any more hell, and that we've taught them how to overcome hell while they're here. They need to understand that greater is he that is in you is not a Pentecostal slogan. It is a truth that sets the mind and the heart and the life free.
Some days we feel, somebody say feel, that's where we make our mistake. He said, my people are gone into captivity, not because of feelings. Somebody tell me. My people are gone into captivity because of a lack of knowledge. You know who gave you your breath all week long. He said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You don't need to wait till you get that new car to praise him. It's time to praise him today. He gave you enough breath to get through the night. He gave you enough mentality to receive truth. He gave you enough intellectualism to understand that the ways of the world are not the ways of eternal life. I'm telling you today, there is something about us. We ought to ride down the road thanking him for every car, for every blessing, for everything, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're going to have to get this stuff quick. Let's stand. Let me tell you how the church got started. At the end of every message, almost everybody in the church came to the front. Now, I'm not trying to put you in a bad way. I'm just here to tell you that the safest way to really get this in your heart and life is to pray it in. Some of you that know how the church, that the gates of hell couldn't stop, know that every service we had time to pray. I'm trying to be the best pastor you could ever even think about having. But we come to church too often with leaving on our mind. And it ain't going to heaven. It's going to other things that we deem too much more important than praying this stuff. So, those that want to come to the altar, please do. But I encourage everybody at least take a couple of 3 minutes and pray whatever stood out to you in the ministry of the word today, that you pray it into your life. Is that asking too much? 3 more minutes? I really think we need to make it a positive part of our future, that when I hear preaching, I'm going to make time to pray it into my mind and pray it into my spirit. That's how the church at the gates of hell could not stop in years gone by. You can pray wherever you are. You can literally make an altar wherever you are. But I'm telling you, this people that's here today is destined for greater things than you've ever even dreamed happening in your personal life. In order for that to happen, you're going to have to conquer the weights.
Cheers!